This is The Faith Debate, a theological roundtable gabfest, a free-for-all forum with faith community leaders wrestling over the truth. In less than one half hour, learn more about what really matters than what most others learn in a week. The Faith Debate is on the World Wide Web at WFMD.com, keyword faith. Are you ready for the clash of ideas? Are you ready for the sound of freedom? Let's get ready to rumble in this corner, weighing in with a master of divinity from Reformed Theological Seminary, the Faith Debate Master of Ceremonies, Troy Skinner.
Frederick's newest author has written the book Renewing Your Mind Daily. It seeks to immediately inform the reader that supernatural experiences are not exclusively reserved for Bible days. They are a reality to be enjoyed even in this modern, or some would call the postmodern era. Rowan Stewart says that his book is it quickly dispels the myth that God no longer communicates with his children through dreams and visions by capturing compelling testimonies of divine encounters experienced by a number of believers who have chosen to make prayer and fasting a lifestyle. So here for the fourth time is Rowan Stewart, and I need to again thank both of our friends, Rowan's and mine, Bob Miller, Frederick's Morning Mayor, and the host of WFMD's Morning News Express, for facilitating the introduction that led to Rowan's experience on the show. If you've missed the last three episodes of the show, you can find those online at WFMD.com. We talked in the first show, kind of a general introduction about Rowan's experience growing up in the church and that sort of thing, and his motivation for writing the book. Then we transitioned into kind of a general understanding of what's going on in the book, the big themes, the emphasis on a kingdom culture in distinction from the culture of self. Last week, we started to share some anecdotes as we worked our way through some of the chapters in the book. And it's a 40-day devotional, and we tackled the first 10 last week, and we're going to see if we can kind of go just really quickly through the remaining 30. And what I'm doing is I'm reading the chapter headings, and then Rowan is picking one, like five at a time, and then Rowan is picking one of them to say, oh, okay, let me talk about that particular issue or that story, or here's a fun little tidbit for you. So, and his chapter headings are days, because again, it's a 40-day devotional. So day 11 is Beyond Imagination. Day 12, The Grace Option. Day 13, Be Ready to Testify. Day 14, The Beauty of Holiness. And day 15, You Are Chosen. So, Rowan, are any of one of those jump out at you as
the Grace Option?
The Grace Option is the one you want to.
Yes.
So, what is it about that particular chapter that made you? You really quickly wanted to mention that one.
Oh, yes. You know, I mean, I have such vivid memory of being like about 13 years old back in Kingston, Jamaica. And my buddies are on the street. And there's this one particular home that we would go to. And we would just have fun. We play soccer. We race in the yard from the back to the front. Or sometimes even race on the streets. Want to know who's the fastest guy on the block? Of course, I was coming last or third, if there were only three of us.
But the first shall be last, and the last shall be first, right?
Exactly. Amen. Amen. So, you know, my good friend's mom. I'm not going to call her name because I didn't have enough time to consult her about this. So, she just inspired me so much. Her husband was working, in the country, in the rural parts of Jamaica. So he traveled and he was like away for weeks, 2 weeks at a time, stuff like that. And it so happened that he got caught up in this relationship and had a child with another woman. And I was thinking that, okay, a divorce is imminent. But that didn't happen. She forgave him, and even at that point of forgiving him, that would have been good, right? But she heard about the plight of the little girl, living with her mom in the country and stuff like that, And she invited the little girl to come and live with her. And she raised this little girl as her own daughter. And I just couldn't understand. I heard about grace, but I couldn't fathom what grace really meant. So you know, she really opened it up. She really expounded on this concept of grace, showing me that, look, you know, just as God forgives us, we sin, and yet his arms are wide open to receive us. And this precious woman of God demonstrated that grace option. That, you know, whatever we experience, there's always another side. Sometimes it happens so that the fruits can be born. The fruits of love, the fruits of forgiveness, the fruits of generosity when we see people on the street and they lack. That's how these fruits, these kingdom fruits are born. It's an opportunity to impact someone's life with the culture of the kingdom. Giving a drink of water, giving food. These are open opportunities for us to take advantage of and bring the kingdom on earth. So this lady, this precious woman of God, I mean, every time, you know, I go through circumstances, but I can remember what she did. And I say, oh, yes. That's the way she operated. She could have forgiven her husband, but just decided, look, I don't want this child in my home. But she didn't do that. She welcomed the child and raised her as her own daughter. And I say, my, that's how I want to live.
Wow, what a stark reminder that is. You know, a lot of people, it seems, are too, a lot, maybe it's not fair to say a lot, but there are people, it seems, who are too quick to look for an excuse to end a marriage. You know, and someone will say, oh, well, you know, he or she cheated on me, that's it, I'm getting divorced. Well, okay, that would be biblical grounds. You would be within your rights to seek a divorce. But there's no requirement to seek a divorce because someone was unfaithful. Or, you know, if there's repentance and there's an opportunity for grace and forgiveness to do a work, you know, some unbelievably wonderful things can come on the back end of that. So, yeah, that's okay. That's a good chapter. We like that one. All right, day 16, Blessings in Disguise. We're working through some chapters in Renewing Your Mind Daily with its author, Rowan Stewart. So Blessing in Disguise is 16. Day 17, Living Forever. Day 18, Love Thy Neighbor. Day 19, True Worship. And day 20, The Spoken Word. Any one of those jump out at you as something you'd want to?
Let's look at Living Forever. Is that it?
Okay.
Living Forever?
Yep, that's day 17.
Yes. So we got to remember that. So let me backtrack a little bit. We work hard, we save, we put aside money for retirement, for what, maybe 20 years, 25 years. But there is an eternity that we gotta even be better prepared for, because 15 years will go like that, but then we transition into eternity. So if we're gonna prepare, yeah, it's good that we prepare for retirement, right? It's good. But what about eternity? I would prefer to prepare for eternity than for retirement, which is just gonna be 15 years. And we go back to the experience of Lazarus and the rich man. Lazarus didn't have anything, but the rich man had it all. He lived in his palatial dwelling, and he had all these things at his fingertips. So, but then he died. So what, 70 years, 80 years, 90 years of pleasure? But then an eternity in hell. And that's not where I want to find myself. So we got to think in terms of eternity. Yes, save up for the retirement, but we got to think, we got to pay more attention to where we're going to spend eternity, because eternity is real. It's real. It's coming. We're all going to go there. It is appointed for us, for man once to die, and after that, we're going to face a judgment, and we're going to know where we're spending eternity. So right now, I want to make sure that I keep my focus on this eternity, this paradise in heaven that I want to experience. And I want to make sure that I'm conforming to the culture of the kingdom to make it. Luke 16 and 16 says that they were pressing their way into the kingdom. It's not something that we just can just, you know, just easily walk into. We got to press our way. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom is being preached and every man press his way into it. So when you fast and you pray and you begin to discipline your lifestyle to make God your habitation, Psalms 91 says, you know, I make God my habitation. When I make him my habitation, a lifestyle of spending time with him and developing intimacy with him, that is where I'm building up treasures in heaven to make sure my eternity is going to be in paradise.
Yeah, as former pop star Prince said in one of his songs talking about eternity, he says, you know, that eternity is forever, and that's a mighty long time.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
And I'm reminded of a quote that is often attributed to Abraham Lincoln. I don't know if he truly said it, and I don't know if I have the quote exactly right, but the gist of it is, if I were given an hour to chop down a tree, I'd spend the first 50 minutes sharpening my axe. And that's kind of what you're talking about, is spend 50 minutes sharpening your axe spiritually by pressing into the scriptures and praying and fasting and that sort of thing. And don't be so busy about the work of chopping down the tree. Prepare yourself for that work of chopping down the tree by spending time with God, I think.
Yes.
So
yes.
I'm going to by the way, this is the Faith Debate at 930 WFMD. I'm talking with the author of Renewing Your Mind Daily, Book One by Rowan Stewart.
Yes.
You can find us online at WFMD.com. And I don't know if I've mentioned this. My name's Troy Skinner. There you go. All right. I'm going to cover a few more chapter headings this time so that we can cover them all before we run out of time here. So day 21 says, God rewards diligence. Day 22, seek God early, mind, heart, and ears. Day 23, seek God early, eyes, tongue, hands, and feet. Day 24, pure religion. Day 25, contend for the faith. And I'm going to throw out five more headings. Day 26, strength and weakness. Day 27, God's mercies and compassions. Day 28, a culture of unity. Day 29, a love of the stranger. And day 30, wonderful in the eyes of God. So there's 10 chapter headings.
Yes.
Is there one of those 10 that you want to draw special attention to right now?
Right. I think it's day 21. I'm seeking God first in the morning, eyes, ears.
Day 22.
Yes.
Well, now.
So both of them are
22
like,
and 20. Day 22 and 23 are both about seeking God early, and combined they are mind, heart, ears, eyes, tongue, hands, feet.
Right. So we could just combine those.
So should I not seek God with my spleen?
well, you could, but I think. But since the mind is where the battle is at, I think we should give that some focus.
Okay. We'll leave a spleen out of it.
Right, yes. So this one, is that the one with mind, eyes,
right.
heart?
Okay. Right. Mind, heart, ears.
Mind, heart, ears.
Is day 22.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's basically reminding people, you know, when I get up in the morning time, I try to include in my prayer that today, Father, I belong to you. Today, it's a recommitment, a daily recommitment that my mind belongs to God, that I'm going to entertain righteous thoughts, that I'm going to entertain pure thoughts. That ungodly thoughts are not going to be controlling me, so I try to start my prayer out like that, and that my heart too, that I'll have a heart that loves God, that loves others the way I would want to be loved, and that type of thing, and that my ears, these instruments will be used to listen to the Word of God, to block ungodly stuff as much as I can, and to just tune in, use these instruments God has given me to listen to the Word of God, to listen to righteousness and stuff like that. So I try to make it a daily prayer of mine to just recommit these members, you know, as a reminder to myself, as a recommitment, just to make sure that when I go out there and I say, I don't want to listen to that, or I don't want these things to be in my mind, I'm committed to God, I'm a soldier for the kingdom, I'm a priest, I'm a royal priest, and this is the way royal priests of God operate.
And a lot of people struggle in their prayer life. You know, they start to pray for 2 or 3 minutes, and they feel like they've run out of things to say, or they're getting repetitive. Right. Like day after day, they're praying the exact same things. This can be a helpful tip.
Yes.
You know, I remember when I was in grade school, I had a teacher that was trying to teach us some relaxation and meditation techniques. Why they were teaching that in grade school, I have no idea, but they were. But part of it was, you know, to focus on different parts of the body. You know, and she started, I think she started with the head and worked her way down, and started with the toes and worked her way up. I can't remember. But focusing on each individual member or part of your body, you know, made the process of relaxing and meditation drag out longer, rather than I'm going to lay here and I'm going to think about my body relaxing isn't as helpful as I'm going to think about my toes relaxing, my feet. So in this case, when you're praying, you know, instead of just praying, God, I want to have an obedience to the leading of your spirit and to the teaching of your word. Mm-hmm. Okay, now what do I pray? But if you say, I want to have I want to be faithful and obedient with my mind. And you spend some time kind of riffing on that. Like, what does it mean to be obedient in your mind? You know, your thoughts and your intellectual time. And then your heart, what does that mean? And then your ears, the things you hear. And before you know it, you can spend a half hour just talking about just your body parts. Easy. Instead of just that 30-second prayer, you did a 30-minute prayer.
Yes.
So.
And the following one, or the one before, goes into like the eyes and the tongue.
Right.
You know, the scripture in Proverbs 18:22 tells us, we're good on time?
Yeah.
Says, you know, your life and death are in the palm of the tongue. So we got to commit ourselves there. Say, today, Father, I dedicate my tongue to you, to speak life even into dead situations, to speak love, to speak encouragement to others, to speak life and speak encouragement and to speak the truth, and not to speak things that tend to death, but speak things that tend to life.
Hmm.
And the eyes, not making sure that we're not focusing, looking at things that we shouldn't be looking at, but that our eyes will behold the beauty of holiness.
Mm. Good stuff. So the last 10 days of this 40-day devotional, day 31, treasure the kingdom, day 32, the Our Father prayer, day 33, a reflection of Abba Father, day 34, following Christ, day 35, have no fear, and now the last 5 chapters, last 5 days of the devotional, begin with day 36, mountain pulpit. Day 37 is supernatural encounters. Day 38 is pressing into the kingdom. Day 39 is God knows all about you. And day 40, comfort in God's words. So which one of those would you like to expound upon?
It's hard to pick just one because there's so many that
it's like picking your
of.
Favorite child, right? You can't do
exactly.
It.
Exactly. Can't do it. Right. So I'm going to go with the first one, the Our Father prayer.
Okay. Day 32, the Our Father prayer. Okay.
I would love to go into the supernatural one, but, you know, we've spent a lot of time discussing supernatural. Yeah. Audience know that that's included. So let's look at the Our Father prayer. So, Jesus taught his disciples to pray, Our Father who art in heaven. So immediately he builds that relationship, letting us know that, look, this is a father-son relationship. And then I'm father, right? You're a dad. And we love our kids. There's absolutely nothing that we're going to withhold from them that, you know, they come and they request something and we can provide it to them. We're going to provide it, right? And this is how Jesus establishes that relationship. Our Father who art in heaven. So in speaking to God, in coming to God, I first got to acknowledge who he is. Our Father who art in heaven. He's a Father and he's the creator of all things. He's omnipresent, omniscient. He's the all-knowing God, the all-wise God, the all-understanding God. There's nothing that's impossible to him. And he's my daddy. And there's nothing that he can't do. We have limitations, right? As dads, we have limitations. But him, the creator of the heavens and the earth, there's no limitation. So when I come to him, I've got to come to him in faith. It's with faith that we please God, right? No one can please God without faith. So I've got to come to him as this child, knowing that my Abba Father can provide anything I want. Now, if he doesn't provide it, it just means it may not be in his will right now. Maybe tomorrow or next month or next year, it may be in his will. But right now, either it's not in his will or the timing is wrong. His time is right. So I've got to come to in prayer with that understanding that, look, there is nothing impossible with God, and He is my Father, so I can get anything that I want.
Hmm. And then talking about His will being done on earth as in heaven, it's calling for His will, but it's also that's a call to obedience, because if His will is going to be done on earth as it is in heaven, like we need to like live that kind of life out, right, for that to happen. And So that little snippet you just gave us was like a little miniature sermonette. You know, that's like the kind of thing that gets preached from pulpits. And so it sounds like there's a bit of an attitude of preaching in this book, which is encouraging and cajoling, but also it's convicting, right? Because if you're not living this kind of life, you're going to feel a little bit convicted.
Yes, I concur.
Now, you've begun to, at least in your mind, if not on with pen and paper, outline some idea of what your next book is going to be. So what are you anticipating book two in this series to be focusing on?
What I anticipate for book two is the flesh. I see right now we're getting caught up, even the churches, not your church, not my church, but I see especially the I love watching television ministries, right? But most of the time I get so discouraged because it's all about prosperity. Mm. It's all about feeding the flesh. The same thing that Jesus tells us, deny flesh. Seek the kingdom first, and these things will be added unto you. So I see the church being like swept away with this culture of selfishness. Oh, the biggest car. Oh, the biggest house. The biggest this. The biggest that. And these television ministries, I noticed they're this is the gospel that they're coming with, a prosperity gospel, which is a deviation from what Jesus Christ teaches. So my thing is, No. We gotta come back to the truth. It's about seeking the kingdom first. It's about denying ourselves that we fulfill the desires of the kingdom.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a real problem, and particularly in the American church, the prosperity gospel, which is no gospel at all. Actually, it's a hoax. It's being perpetrated on members of God's people. If you buy into it, you're buying into a lie. If you read your New Testament, it is clear that the Christians will be persecuted. The last will be first. We're not called to any sort of oath of poverty necessarily. God will bless His people, sometimes with great riches. That's not the point. But to put your faith and hope in those riches and to think that God is some sort of a genie that you ask for your three wishes and you get your big house, your big car, and your beautiful spouse, that's not exactly what it is. He's not like a vending machine. You know, that's not God, right. And you're right. That is a huge problem.
So
in the church.
I'm thinking about something like untethering the heart from the strongholds of the unrelenting tentacles of the flesh. Well, something to that nature.
Well, looking forward to that. Well, the book that's out now is called Renewing Your Mind Daily, Book One. Rowan R. Stewart. It's from Zulon Press, Xulon, Zulon Press. Google it, Rowan Stewart, Renewing Your Mind Daily. You'll find it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, places like that. Buy one for yourself, buy one as a gift. I mean, every time you buy a book, you're supporting a local author. How cool is that? Thank you, Rowan, for being on the show.
Thank you so much.
If you've missed these four episodes, go online, WFMD.com. You can find the podcast of all of the four shows that we've done together. And we'll be back next week with another edition of the Faith Debate with Rowan won't be back next week, but maybe he'll be back some other day in the future. Till next week, 167.5 hours from right now. God bless.